This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
The Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Stacking the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
I did throw dice in our office before the show to make sure it felt regular.
Yes. If you're just listening to the audio, we are back in our LA studio post March Madness. We're back here home in the LA studio. I'm sure we'll find an excuse to get back out to the Circus Studios in beautiful downtown Las Vegas. We do have a built-in craps table. Not quite as much fun when there's not the circus money on the line, but still fun and still certainly helpful.
I had a moment. I'm taking my daughter on a couple campus trips, and I did have a moment where I was starting to plan a leg of the trip that involved us stopping in Vegas for the night. And I realized, no, you need a couple weeks off and relax. Maybe is it a problem if you
Ryan, the craps tables will be there next time we're back at the Circa.
I hope so. I hope so. A lot of robots.
Maybe they'll go out of business if we're not there. Help keeping the lights on for
bubble
Derek and
craps.
We got an awesome show for you. Jam packed show for you tonight. We're talking college hoops with Colby Dant, of course, from the College Experience. Obviously, the big games. Final Four. We also have some Crown Final Four, aka the remaining four. We got to come up with a good name for the Crown Final Four. We got the NIT Championship. Then we're gonna be talking to our buddy CJ Sullivan. Bottom line bombs, draft props, early golf stuff. We got our buddy Dom from the Golf Gambling Podcast talking to early Masters. We got Scotty Rochelle talking NBA, MLB. It's we're hitting it all right.
And you're going to want to stay tuned to next segment when we get Colby's opinion of the newly minted expanded tournament, which I don't know if you saw
76 teams,
women's and men. So they're doing it the same for the men. And the
neither the men or the women's tournament need 76 teams, but in particular, the women's tournament, these opening spreads, it is just a bloodbath.
Well, in theory, that shouldn't change if they do this right. A lot of the play-in games should be those same teams, and so we're just filtering it down to one team that gets slaughtered. I'm with you. I don't agree with the expansion in general, but yeah, it does seem like I want to know who was clamoring for the women's tournament to be expanded, or if they just did the same thing, because this, it does seem a little bit strange.
Kramer,
there are blowouts in the Elite Eight. There's like 40-point blowouts in the Elite Eight.
There are like 16-point spreads in the Elite Eight, even in the Final Fours, massive spreads. It didn't seem...
we're going to get Colby Dant's take on that, which should be...
If you like hearing a guy yell at clouds, stay tuned.
Which he might... It's possible. He's in transit coming back from... Maybe he doesn't even know yet.
Oh, that will be great. Uh-huh. Hopefully he's not listening to the show, which odds are he's not.
So 100%.
We'll get to break him the news. And we will give you live updates all throughout the night. The game of the night, UFL football, the DC Defenders versus the Columbus Aviators. Almost called them Colorado Aviators. Well, I was thinking Colorado Avalanche. The game when we picked it on our podcast, Ryan, total sitting at 39.5. DC laying a point and a half. It got steamed up. The sharps were all over DC after we put out our podcast. Closed, I think, like 4 points. Currently 24-14. We have a possible turnover. It was a while you were going on your rant about the tournament expansion, I was laughing because the Aviators quarterback dropped back. He appeared to fumble the ball. DC got the ball, and it was one of those, was he down or not? And then he starts jogging to the end zone, and then he gets strip sacked a la Don Beebe, almost Leon Lett. And then the Aviators recovered it. So
God bless spring football.
It's Dean Blandino is going to have his hands full. With the review there back at the old league office.
It does seem like something weird is happening. Like whatever the shift from last season to this season, they do seem to be trying a little bit harder to actually be successful.
Well, I
for
mean,
for many seasons we followed these spring leagues, and they're a grift. They're a clear grift. We followed the story with there being more concession workers than fans in Detroit. a lot of these places. It's a clear grift, but now it does seem like kudos to them going to smaller stadiums, finding cities that actually will support a team. The crowd on a Friday night on Easter weekend in Columbus. Now, either they're really excited about the Columbus Aviators or big time Gavin DeGraw fans, because it could just be the halftime show. Was a lit concert environment, but yeah, no, it does seem like they're trying to be successful. And I'll say the other thing. I think there's one thing that the NFL will take from the UFL, because a lot of other sports do it across the world. Rugby particularly does it. It is just open up the airwaves when the refs are talking.
Mm.
You remove like 90% of people saying this is BS. Just let them hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
What you're probably going to find out is they're no different than you or your buddies on the couch. And they're just like, ah, I guess this
well,
is the best.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see. And then another story that's right around the corner, the NFL, possibly a negotiating tactic, is saying that it was a, that they're working on the replacement refs. And if you're following, they did rule the fumble and then the double fumble. Oh, although yeah. I swore the DC defender guy was down with the ball, but
so DC got it and then lost it.
Yes.
So good for the recovery. Good for underbettors.
Yeah. But Ryan,
for underbettors.
You are on the under. I did not touch the total. We're all on the podcast on DC laying the point and a half, but yeah. I did not touch the total. It's sitting at 30. What did you get it at? Under 39.5. It's 24-14 right now in Columbus.
Pretty sure I got 41.5. I think it moved up a bit when we did the show. Again, they were all in the 40s, which, you know, seems a little shocking. Now, what surprised, if you want to dive into this game, what's surprising to me is how much both teams are scoring. I think DC's defense is pretty good. So the fact that the Aviators, now one of their drives was a little bit, they got aided by a couple penalties, but I'm impressed they were able to score two touchdowns. So still undecided on Ted Ginn. I don't know if he kind of looks the part. I'm going to put him right next to Ricky Prohl in terms of like, kind of looks like he's been on a sideline before. Can't say that about AJ McCarron, who we all know was off trying to become Lieutenant Governor of Alabama. But yeah, no, the defense, I would say in general, the offensive performances by both teams have been impressive, because DC did not look good last week.
No. And part of the handicap was that it was a situation spot of, hey, they were in a tough spot there at St. Louis. Yeah. The Battle Hawks, obviously one of the franchises where they get a crazy home crowd, 30 something thousand in the Battle Dome, compared to some of these other fields where it's like 10,000 if you're lucky.
Still a better bet. It's like fill up whatever stadium you're in, fill it up, and that's better.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a comedy club. A full room, a full venue is better than a big empty venue. I mean the games in Ford Field were comical how thin the attendance was, and he fumbled again, Ryan. DC, the ball slipping around. Oh wow, this is getting a little sloppy here on a Friday night.
My goodness.
Speaking of
great for underbetters.
Speaking of, well, not really. They almost picked it up for a touchdown. Speaking of sloppy Friday night action. Friday night, Ryan, we're watching a historic night in the association.
Oh.
Because five games have point spreads of 15 or higher tonight, something that's never happened in the last 35 seasons. And if you're looking, if you're a dog better, maybe you want to stay away from the NBA, at least until the end of the regular season. Knicks beat the Bulls 136-96. Rockets up 127-91 with 4:36 left. I have a bet on the Toronto Raptors laying 13.5. The line moved from 11 to the 13.5. I got a little scared. Raptors are up 96-72 going into the fourth. So maybe the back door is always open. Celtics up 129-100. Now this is that spread was one that was over 15. So that might come down to a little bit of a sweat. 2:59 left in the fourth. Even the Orlando Magic, who have really been struggling here as of late, they're up 84-69. Hornets get the win, 129-108. They covered the number. 76ers. That was a reasonable spread. That was like 4.5, 115-103. And the Atlanta Hawks laying, I think it closed around 16, 141-107. So
why,
it is.
Why does anyone buy tickets? Well, I don't understand. This. What do you think our great Commissioner Goodell would do if this was happening?
He would not. He would not allow this. Shout out to the great Roger Goodell. Yeah, Adam Silver. A number of tanking proposals are ready to go, along with the two potential new teams that they're trying
to
crowbar.
That's what they need. More teams.
Yeah,
that, more teams, and you'll figure the tanking thing out.
That that seems. And the other big news from the NBA, we. We always have to worry about load management, but literally load management taken to another level where Anthony Edwards missed the start of a game due to having to use the restroom. And his coach is like, I was indisposed. And then Anthony Edwards is like, yeah, I had to take a crap. And of course, in any of these weird situations in sports, there's always one guy who gets boned on some sort of bet. And I saw someone on Twitter had a crazy five leg parlay. It was all these different players to get a two points in the first 3 minutes. Ant Edwards was the lone guy who did not get 2 points in the 3 minutes, first 3 minutes of the game. So cost him like $5,000. He did get the two, not the 2 points on the court. So very, just a crazy all time bad beat.
Would have got with Deuce. He got the deuce, but needed the two.
There you go. He got the deuce, still needed the two. A little short there. When we return, that's right. We are going to talk to Colby Dant, College Hoops.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second, the Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
DC Defenders laying only 1.5 was a joke. Yes. League continues to be a joke, the UFL. Thank you.
The shout out to the Defenders just broke off a nice touchdown. Deion Jackson helps extend the lead 31-14 over the Columbus Aviators. Shout out to us. Defenders -1.5 looking pretty good. You know what else is good? Love me Edge Boost. That's right. I got my Edge Boost card. I just used it to withdraw I hit a sweet parlay the other day. I hit withdrawal. It was very easy. Went right to my Edge Boost card and then right into my bank. Love me Edge Boost. It's a great card. Again, you think, hey, I'm going to a legal gambling state, it's going to be easy to deposit and withdraw. Oh no, not so fast. A lot of times it can be a huge pain in the butt. Edge Boost makes it simple and easy. Go to edgeboost.bet. Use that promo code VSiN to get started today. Match your first deposit up to $50. So on top of all the cash back, the easy access, you also get the sweet first deposit bonus. Edgeboost.bet, promo code VSIN. Hanging out with us, talking all things college hoops from the college experience. Colby Dant, aka Pick Dundee, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Colby?
What is up? We are what? I mean, best event in sports here, the Final Four. We're right there for it.
Yes, we're going to get to the Final Four, but thought we should talk about the other three games we got going on Saturday and Sunday. We got the Crown Final Four. We got
Whoa, the legal team's going to be all over us with that. The remainder, remember?
Oh, yes. The remaining four.
We Kramer, can't...
and we got the NIT championship. Kramer, what do we got going on? And what are the games? What are we doing here?
As Sean mentioned, we have the remaining four games of the crown, or four teams left in the crown. So two games. And let's hope we get a better showing. Speaking of attendance issues, out at T-Mobile for the first one, which I do like how they act as a build up to the actual Final Four or the UFL Saturday night game. Depends on where your priorities are. First game's at 10:30 on the West Coast. Oklahoma Baylor. This one opened Oklahoma laying a point. It's now Oklahoma laying a point. Total's 159. Colby?
Yeah, I think you got to ride with Oklahoma here. They've been, I mean, there's a reason why they were the odds on favorite to win the crown, but also they've ended the season really strong. Porter Moser's been announced that he's coming back. I know they got a guy or two down, I think Forsyth, Dayton Forsyth, but liked them against Colorado the way they played. They looked like they hadn't missed a beat since previously. And I just think they're the team to beat really right now on that side of the bracket.
Yeah, I'm with you all over Oklahoma here, laying the point and a half, a money line, whatever you want to do here. To Colby's point, I mean, going back to February 24th, they've only lost one game, so a 7-1 run now, going 2-1, and their one loss was to Arkansas, game three in the SEC tournament. They only lost by three on a neutral. Got a good effort out of Colorado there. Took them to OT, got the win, didn't get the cover there. But I mean, if you watch that Baylor Minnesota game, clearly Minnesota did not take the crown seriously. I'm laughing at Colby's camera is possessed. But yeah, I think Baylor benefited from the fact that Minnesota clearly wanted no part of the crown experience. They punted. So I think this is going to be a tough matchup for Baylor going up against Oklahoma and Porter Moser. Like the handicap, I'm with you, Colby. Give me Oklahoma.
All the coaches mentioned how difficult it was to have this long of a layoff. Now the layoff's over, so they're back into it. I'm with you. The Baylor game seemed like much more of an outlier to me. Oklahoma, lay the point. Game two, again, as a little precursor to the actual Final Four, trademarked, West Virginia, Creighton. And as I predicted on our podcast, Sean, wow, Creighton is a 1-point dog.
The things that Kramer enjoys touting about is just amazing.
I used them as my dog on the show, and I was ridiculed. I was
all right. Well, what's
of
the money? The money line's minus 105. So when we decide to give out a dog on the show, I'm sorry, minus 105. Colby, last I checked, is that a plus odd dog?
No, and that is a terrible dog.
Yeah, come on.
West Virginia is laying a point. 134.5 is the total. You can find some plus 100s out there, as some places are dealing minus 1.5, Sean. Colby, are we still riding the Creighton train here?
Yes. I mean, did you guys watch West Virginia and Stanford? West Virginia had no business even getting the game to overtime, let alone winning it. West Virginia's been terrible away from home all year. Creighton, a young team, obviously they lost a lot a year ago, but now they're playing for Coach McDermott, who announced his retirement. Alan Huss taking over next season. And to me, they had a young team all year. You saw them late in the year. They went up to UConn and drilled UConn. UConn's still playing. You know, I had heard about them. I think that, look, we took our shot on Creighton future to win the crown, and I think they win this, they're gonna be playing in the championship game here. I love it. I love the play here. They're just better than West Virginia right now.
Yeah, no, I love you sold me on the handicap of playing for Coach McDermott there. The your handicap of them having the home crowd there was a little more suspect, as there was barely any crowd.
There was posters.
There were posters. It was dead silence when they made a bucket. But I think if you look at that game against Rutgers, they were down 10 points early in that first half. I think that was a great wake up call for Creighton in general. And then on the other side, to your point, as someone who was on Stanford catching 2 points there, West Virginia had no business getting that game to overtime, let alone winning that game. Stanford really let a golden opportunity slip away from them. So you get a team, and then the Creighton second half, they look good. I felt like they locked in. I like the better coach here on the quick turnaround. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about Creighton in this spot. I'm a little confused as to why they're a dog. I think they're going to win this game outright. Obviously, I know Kramer has them as a money line dog, minus 105 over at Circa. So I'll happily take the Creighton Blue Jays. Tweet. Cole, Kramer, what do you got?
I believe the exact quote was, "There are a sneaky amount of people from Nebraska in Vegas."
Then he cited this local Nebraska bar that is no longer in business, but it was a Nebraska football hangout.
Yeah, fade the team coming again with the long layoff too. But again, we saw the rusty starts. But yeah, no, fade the team coming off the miraculous overtime win. So you gotta have a double whammy there. I'm also on Creighton, and I love them as a money line dog. Thank you for pointing that out, Sean. We told Colby part of the negotiation to get him on tonight was we told him we would talk NIT final, which we are down to two teams, Tulsa and Auburn. Auburn laying 5.5. Let's see. Let me get the Circa number here. Oh, I don't know if the Circa has a number. 5.5, 160.5 is the total. Ooh. And I got to be honest, they were. I heard all this talk when we had Colby on earlier in the week, Sean, about how Hinkle Fieldhouse this, Hinkle Fieldhouse that. These people, they travel across the country to go to this great Hinkle Fieldhouse, and then what happens? They move the championship game to where the Pacers play.
Oh no!
Disgusting. Why what are they doing, that? Colby?
Well, I complained about that all offseason. But the thing is they sold out last year at Hinkle, and they left people, you know, essentially waiting to get into the NIT. So that their angle was to go to a bigger stadium this year, which I disagree with. Less is more. But look, the almighty dollar won here.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember a time when people weren't able to go see something sometimes. Like there was a finite amount of seats, and that was that. You just didn't get to see it.
Yeah. You get in your tent and camp out for the NIT championship. Colby, what are you doing in the game? 5 points feels a lot for me for this Tulsa team. I'm a sucker for if you're hitting 78% from the line and you're getting 5 points, I'll take it. And I do think there's maybe some distractions, but a lot of big time coaches at the Final Four there. Good networking opportunity for these Auburn transfer portal guys. I'll take Tulsa in the 5. What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, and shout out to Auburn for playing big there against Illinois State. Illinois State went through a big drought, I think, like right around maybe 5 minutes before the half. But Auburn, to their credit, showed up. You know, you worry about these Power 5 teams in events like this now in this day and age, but They've shown up. They've looked good, but I'm with you. I still think Tulsa, you know, they've won multiple NITs for a reason. That this program in general, to me, is better than their record. They're 30-7, but if you watch them throughout the season, it's a shame they didn't make the NCAA tournament because I think they were live. They beat Northern Iowa. I know Northern Iowa lost to St. John's in the first round. I think they're a legit team to had they not got St. John's to go pretty far. They should have beat Kansas State in the first first week of the season where they lost by one, blew a 10-point lead. I think they're going to be able to stay within this number. I think Moneyline's live.
When we return, Final Four, Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Game On Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
The tone of the behind the scenes conversation took a very dark shift about 15 seconds before the end of the break.
Live UFL score update, DC Defenders extending it to a 38-14 lead. So officially the under is cooked in the DC Defenders looking pretty good, laying the 1.5. Hanging out with us on the Progressive Guest Line from the College Experience, Colby Dant, aka Pick Dundee. Colby, apparently you have heard the news. The tournament is now expanding to 76 teams. Your instant reaction.
I mean, what a world. Just, you know, money will ruin everything. So, I mean, okay, we'll see if 76 is the magic number, right? To ruin the greatest postseason. I still think we're okay, but I still don't understand why, especially when I know they're not going to put the mid-majors in. If they told me for all the mid-majors that won 29 games or 28 games that didn't get in, I'd say, okay, let's try this. But no one wants to see 13 and 15 NC State or 13 and 17 NC State again after losing, having their chance in the ACC tournament. But no, now they get another chance. How exciting.
Well, they you know what they're doing? They're driving right down the same road that football's doing, which is maybe we don't need these conference tournaments or championship games. It feels like we are. That is the next logical progression. We'll get to a, and they're going to realize like why yeah, are we?
I mean, my argument against expansion is everyone's already in the tournament. The ultimate play-in games are the conference tournaments. That being said, I'll watch the 76 games. So if they expand to 76 teams, I'll be watching those games. I'm not going to protest the games. I will watch them. I think it's annoying. 68's the perfect number, but hey, that being said, I'll be watching them.
That's a.
I mean,
of course.
Right. So I understand why they're doing it. People will watch the games, and if the Jerry Jones said it best when they're asking him about an 18 game schedule, he goes, "If the duck is quacking, you feed it." And we're the ducks quacking that we love college basketball, so they're gonna give us more tournament games.
No one asked for this, though.
Yeah.
No one wants this. Like,
but they know we want it.
What's the magic number? Case of, yeah, there is the. It will just keep going then, yeah. By Sean's logic, which we've seen a lot of cases of how that. I mean that approach will just allow the thing to fail, eventually. Now, in the case of college basketball, I think what's curious is that, to Colby's point, they're not. This isn't going to allow for a greater pathway for the Cinderella team, the part of the tournament that everyone really likes. And so they also do run the risk of slowly ruining the key aspect of why people like the tournament. Now, to your point, I'm still going to watch the games.
Yeah.
But it would be pretty lame if you essentially eliminated the majority of the fun long shot teams in the first 24. Because you're essentially just saying, well, this is a beta run for us to have a first round where we have, you know, 64 games or whatever.
I mean, also just logistically, how are you going to fit that bracket on one sheet of paper without making the teams just
smush it together a little
bit? Yeah, no, the bracket's going to be horrifically ugly. But hey, let's talk.
Also, I don't know if they're going to crush TV rate. I like the first four does okay, but it doesn't crush TV ratings on that Tuesday and Wednesday.
Right, but it beats not having a game.
Sure.
But
yeah.
But my argument would be is it doesn't change the target of like the first 2 days. The first round is still the main event. And I don't know how successful these early games will be.
What,
especially if you're having them compete with one another.
What postseason has teams with losing records all scattered through it?
Agreed. That would be something to talk about. Maybe we don't need teams with losing records.
Yeah, again, I'm against it, but I will be watching the games. I'll also be watching the Final Four. Kramer, let's break down these games.
You'll watch anything, Sean. Sounds like.
Yeah, if it's a part of the March Madness tournament, I will watch that game. Yes.
Yeah, but you're not at all worried that this is the first step into ruining the tournament.
Sure. But they said that when they went from 32 to 64.
I was not around for that.
No, but that was the discussion point.
Was it?
Yes.
I think it was a different time. We have a lot more conferences.
I'm just telling you, everyone says it's going to ruin it, and then they still watch it.
Okay.
I don't think
they're going to cancel.
That's a crazy argument because this is like 40 years ago you're talking.
Okay. I think people will still watch these games is my takeaway. You disagree with
no, that this is you're making an impossible point to argue against.
Okay.
Of course.
I didn't say it's good. I said people will watch the games
and thus it's good.
I didn't say that. Okay. It's good for them because they get more people watching the tournament.
I don't know if more people will watch the tournament because you're adding these games.
Okay. That I disagree with, because if you think if you have more games, you inevitably have more ratings.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Okay. If they don't crush again. The early games don't crush it.
Right. But they
couldn't
don't
you hurt the people. Regular season too.
Well, that's what Sean, that's every what I was team just saying. Is you're going to destroy major conference tournaments. I would imagine they'll want to stop playing them.
Or the whole regular season. If you know NC State's in at 14 and 18, then why do I even need to go to the games in the regular season?
It certainly would hurt any sort of interesting non-conference scheduling as well. I think I would imagine they would do less of that. Anyway, Illinois, UConn, 3 taking on 2. This is a game that people will watch. And, you know, while we're at it, we maybe stop playing these games in football state. Just because you can sell more seats doesn't mean it's a better place to play the game. Illinois, they were laying 2.5 earlier in the week. They're now laying 2 with some 1.5s out there. People betting UConn, Colby, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm one of them. And look, I mean, you're giving Danny Hurley a long time to prep. He is 2-0 against Underwood, one of them being a gigantic blowout win in this very tournament. So I gotta go with him. And then another thing is they played this year. They won by double digits in a game where Terrace Reed only played 14 minutes. I understand some of the Illinois guys didn't play a substantial amount of time. They didn't know their identity yet with so many new faces. I still think UConn's got players that have been there. Solo Ball, Caravan. And for my dollar, I feel like most times you see the just gigantic shot that wins it all. Crazy game, one of the craziest games ever. More times in March Madness than not, I feel like those teams go on a run to the national championship. So I'm going to take UConn there to get it done there.
I'm going against you. Yeah, give me Illinois. I'm fading the Hurley magic. I mean, Brad Underwood's also been very good in these spots with extended time to prepare. We keep doubting these this elite international squad of hitmen known as the Illinois Fighting Illini. I think they're going to have the crowd here in Lucas Oil, seeing all the videos of the practice just completely jammed out, fighting Illinois fans everywhere. And you know, Hurley talked about it. He tried to explain how you get these guys up after that crazy comeback and emotional buzzer beater. And I think he's a good coach, and I'm sure he's doing everything he can, but I think human instinct's gonna get the best of him. I think Illinois wins and gets the cover here. Give me the Fighting Illini to lay the 1.5.
Hurley said it on the podium. They're not here for the watch. They're here for the ring. That involves them winning here. Another small dog I like. This one's plus 105. Yeah, it's UConn all day. Can't bet against Hurley. I don't think, has Hurley ever not covered in the Final Four? I think the answer is no. Michigan, Arizona, which many are calling the championship game. Arizona catching 1.5. 157.5 is the total. Colby, I'm on Arizona. I think you're with me.
And especially the news, Tommy Lloyd is back. How about that? He turned down a bigger offer from North Carolina. Now the team's rejoicing, because that was the cloud hanging over this game to me. I love the guard play. I think the guard play of Arizona is going to be a big problem for Michigan. Braden Berries, Jaden Bradley, too much. The LJ Kaysen injury for Michigan, I think, will finally be felt here for the Wolverines, because I think they just have a huge advantage against Elliott Cadeau and McKinney there. I think they're going to hit more threes than normal, too. I think Arizona wins. I like playing this alt line up to like 6.5 or so.
No way. I'm all over Michigan here. Yaxel, Lendenborg, Michigan. They're just clearly the best team in the tournament. I think they're going to win it all. Give me Michigan.
You're all on the Big Ten, huh? Yep. Big Ten does not advance the championship for me. Sorry.
Wrong. Both Big Ten teams advance, and we are finally, the streak is over. Big Ten is going to win the national championship. Big thanks to Colby Dant. Check him out on the College Experience when we return. Dom Cinturino from the Golf Gambling Podcast talking early Masters.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack of the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
I stepped outside and I saw one of the women's final four games was in the second half, 20-17. My God,
not a high scoring. Imagine they expanded to 76 teams.
Well, that's what they need. More teams. The one seeds getting to the final four is a direct implication on the fact that they need more teams.
Probably good at 64 there, especially for the women's tournament. Hey, Masters right around the corner. We're going to be joined by our buddy Dom here in just a second to break it down. But the VSiN High Stakes Master Challenge on Splash Sports. This is fun, Ryan. A $500 entry, 100K guaranteed.
Whoa!
Fantasy tiers contest built specifically for golf bettors. Basically, you draft six golfers, one from each tier, top five count, and very fun. If you miss cut, an 8-stroke penalty. Entries close April 9th at 8 a.m. So do not miss out. This will lock ahead of time. And again, it's guaranteed. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN. Use promo code VSIN, a 50% deposit match up to $100. Free $20 quick picks entry and a 100% quick picks boost. Go to splashsports.com/VSIN and use promo code VSIN. Joining us on the line, early look here at the Masters from the Golf Gambling Podcast, Dom Cinturino. Dom, what's happening? Thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Masters week, one of the best weeks in sports, in my opinion. Obviously, one of the top weeks in golf. So ready to get after it.
I see you got your yellow Masters visor on. Did you get that at the Masters?
I did. I got this at the Masters in 2023 when John Rahm won. I went to the Friday round.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty. I knew someone who knew someone who lived in Augusta, and they spoke about winning the lottery to get to go to an actual round of golf as though you were on hallowed ground. So congratulations. I hear it is a fun trip. Just like throwing the phone in a box and being off the grid a little bit.
It is. It's different. I left my phone in the car. They have pay phones that not even pay phones. It's free, but you have to obviously memorize numbers and you can call anyone you want, but it's like there's birds chirping 24/7 and you look up in the trees and there's nothing there. So it's a very odd space. If anyone that's watching this gets the opportunity to go, obviously do so. Crazy. Once you get in the rope inside there.
Well, and I was going to say, I actually have been to Augusta, Georgia. And silly me, I thought I was going to be able to just drive by like it's a sports mecca. Let me go check this place out. No, sir. There are walls around that place. You're not getting anywhere near it unless you got some sort of invitation. So, yeah, cool. I mean, certainly a spot.
And especially not if you're Pat McAfee, who's too hot for the Masters. He's apparently banned from broadcasting at the Masters.
I love that flex. Very, I love that flex.
Very funny. All right, Dom. Well, let's start there. What is your biggest Masters cash? What was your biggest win in Masters gambling history? What was your biggest score?
My biggest score in Masters history, when betting wasn't all that huge, I did have Patrick Reed back in 2018, and we'll get to him a little bit later because that's one of the two futures that I currently have. So before betting came to Michigan, I had some Patrick Reed, in DFS. That was a pretty big week for me.
Well, I remember a time before betting came to anywhere but Nevada when Sean and I were playing DeBell Golf Course in Burbank, California, while a certain Bubba Watson was playing his final round in the, or maybe it wasn't even the final round in the 2012.
Yeah, it was like the third round where he made a nice run.
2012 Masters. I'll never forget that. That was the first time I put like a football size bet on a golfer. My goodness, what an explosion!
Yeah, cashing on Bubba Watson 2012 was an all time.
I feel like we lost a lot of money betting on Bubba Watson after 2012.
Yeah, once you hit that first one, you're kind of hooked. All right, so you said Reed. You already have a future on Reed. What price did you get him at? Why do you like Reed this week?
So I got him at 33-1 with a top five each way. I see there's a 45 out there now, so I might go double down. Nice. He's a guy that announced back in January that he was leaving LIV. PGA is bringing him back in August, but just looking at what he's done worldwide, he's kind of leaned into the DP World Tour. He's made 15 straight cuts worldwide, up to 23rd in the official world golf ranking. And his 2026 resume, I think, is as impressive as anyone's. 6 of 6 when it comes to cuts on the DP World Tour. That includes 2 wins and a T2. He was solo third at Augusta last year, 2 strokes out of the playoff between Rory and Justin Rose. So Reed, obviously a 2018 Masters champion, playing really good golf right now. I think 33-1 with the each way is a great number, and 45 is even better, obviously.
He's also the ultimate heel because he plays really slow, Sean.
Yeah, this is drives people crazy.
Everyone is always talking about how he needs to get stroked, which is also a great drop.
Oh yes,
just stroke him.
No one's. Has anyone ever gotten penalized for playing too slow? Like what? Or when was the last time that happened, Dom?
A couple weeks ago, Adrian Dumont de Chassart, when Matt Fitzpatrick won, he kind of mentioned something to someone and they told him that he had to speed up. So a couple weeks ago, actually, it was a hot topic.
I like that. Really? Yeah. It's always like you get these, it's probably just like an uppity marshal who's like, yeah, I'm going to show this kid.
Marshals love flexing their power. They're like RAs at a college dorm or your landlord. Dom, what are you doing in do you have any other futures?
I do. I bet Sam Burns back around Christmas time, 100-1. I just saw Sam Burns as the player and thought that that was kind of a ridiculous number. Currently, Sam Burns is right around 75. I think that's the best number you can get. So he's not playing in the best form that I would have liked. He is entering the week off of 2 straight top 25 finishes. Obviously, a guy who's played Augusta a number of times. So I do have that future. Some other guys that I'm looking at, though, towards the very top of the board, John Rahm at 13-1 piques my interest. I always get baited into these LIV guys, and I hate using LIV current form, but John Rahm's is really hard to ignore. He won LIV Hong Kong. He has 3 second-place finishes. The most recent was in South Africa and a loss to Bryson DeChambeau, and his worst finish was a solo 5th. So Rahm's playing really good golf. Number one on the LIV individual golf rankings by over 100 points. Leads LIV in greens and regulation, only guy over 80%. So John Rahm's probably the highest that I would go this week.
You mean like highest up the board as far as yes. Lower odds?
Yep, right. In terms of favorites. Now,
So Scottie Scheffler, not winning the Masters, not taking Scottie at it, Kramer always reminds me, like, hey, plus 550 at golf doesn't feel fun, but in the NFL, that's like a 10-point dog, even more.
At least, yeah.
So maybe I should just suck it up and take the Scheffler chalk. Do you think this is obviously you're not on Scheffler, but can you make a case against him?
Yeah, me and Matt Gannon are both kind of, we either do the no Scotty market or just try and take him on altogether. I'm just not a huge fan of where his game's at right now. I can't believe his number hasn't drifted even more than it has. Last year heading into the Masters, like, Scheffler had gained over 2 strokes on approach in 5 of his 6 events leading in. When you look at it this year, he's only done that one time, and that was in his T3 at the Waste Management. I'm obviously not saying he can't win the Masters. He's the number one golfer in the world. It's just I weigh in lead in form so heavily, and I just don't love what I'm seeing, especially getting up plus 550.
Now, I've been watching the show. I, of course, have a Brooks Koepka ticket tied with the Seattle Seahawks, who did win the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
So I have Brooks Koepka at 87-1. He's currently 30-1.
Are you going to hedge?
I saw he just missed the cut in the event that Gary Woodland won. Can Brooks win this week?
He absolutely can win this week. Yes. Brooks Koepka heading into his missed cut at the Houston Open was on fire. The irons were showing, off the tee was showing, everything was kind of peaking. Guys, people started to get on him at the Houston, I feel like. And when it comes to Brooks Koepka, historically, he has just kind of risen to the occasion. So when a big event comes up, he just kind of shows up. So your number that you got with the Seahawks, I wouldn't feel too bad about that.
Yes, I feel great about it.
Well, Kramer goes, oh, this is awesome. When Seattle wins, I'm just going to be able to flex. What a great price I have on Brooks Koepka on all these golf nerds. So congrats on your great CLV
thank
ride.
Thank you.
And thank you, Dom, for hopping on. Make sure you check out Dom Golf Gambling Podcast. Does a great job over there. When we return, Real Men of D-Gen, Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN.